Winnipeg International Writers Festival is on this week, and I want to read just the back paragraph here on the book that I'm holding in my hand. After her marriage of 25 years ended badly, Linda Kenyon was determined to never put herself in the way of a broken heart again. But then she met an extraordinary man, and in an act of great courage or foolishness, decided to sell everything she owned and sail across the ocean with him. Sea Over Bow is the account of that journey, a North Atlantic crossing. And Linda Kenyon joins us live in studio on CJOB. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. So the marriage ended badly. How long ago was that?
Boy, I can hardly remember anymore. I think 15 years ago. It was quite some time ago.
It's a good thing when you're not counting days and times and things like that, right?
That's true.
It's moving past.
That's right. I used to count it in weeks, then years, then now I forget.
Yeah. So I'd say that's positive. So then when you get on the boat to go to the Caribbean, it's a new husband by then?
No, not really. It's a new relationship, but not a husband yet. A husband now. We've been together this 15 years, but yeah.
I just wanted to solve the curiosity. The trip didn't divide you further. United.
It was going to be the test, right? I was either going to make us or break us.
That is quite the large piece of IKEA furniture to sort things out and to make sure that things work okay. Do you sleep with one eye open when you're in the middle of the ocean with someone that maybe you haven't known for an extended amount of time? I'm very curious about that.
Well, actually, Chris is a very accomplished sailor. He'd been sailing since he was, I think, about 8, 10 years old, so he really knew what he was doing. So I wasn't worried about my safety. And also, in terms of our relationship, I was pretty sure right from the start this was it. But yeah, you're always on opposite watches, so even if I was off watch sleeping, he couldn't come down and murder me or throw me over the side.
You picked up what I was throwing down there.
There is somewhat, when you get on any vacation, there's either time where you just want to forget about everything or there's moments of reflection. And I can imagine being out on that open water when the view might not change from day to day, or definitely your person you're with doesn't change. It'd be days and days that you might have an up and down emotion for what you're feeling. Even just depression might come in, or excitement. Like, tell me about that kind of wave of emotions that you'd go through. Yeah. At sea, no pun intended.
That wave of emotions. That part was really interesting. I wasn't expecting all of the time for reflection out there. I thought, when we set out, I thought, okay, this is going to be just a huge physical adventure. I'm going to have to really be at the top of my game the whole time. But there's so much time out there. Sure, when there are gales and big storms, it's a huge challenge. And all you're doing is trying to just keep things together and keep the sails happy and keep the boat more or less going through the waters comfortably. But there are far longer periods of time when it's just beautiful and quiet. And because of the opposite watches, the other person is down sleeping. And so I'd be at watch and Chris would be down sleeping. And there only is time to think. And especially the day was interesting because there's the seas change all the time, the sky. It's really, really beautiful. And there are creatures all the way across. There are dolphins and whales. There were birds the whole way across the ocean. There's always something to watch. But at night, when you're just there under the sky and looking at the stars and watching the moon, there's so much time to think and reflect. And there were times I went broody, I will admit, but there was also so much time to think about things and dream. It was fantastic, that part of it.
How much time had passed, like, between the end of your marriage and then meeting this new man?
Yeah, not very much. I'd say I had about a year where I just hid in my condo and didn't ever go out and see anyone. I'd bought myself a condo in an old schoolhouse in Waterloo, and I turned it into a little one-bedroom apartment, and I bought some bookshelves and books and an armchair, and I just read and I hid. So I'd say it was about 2 years after that Chris and I started sailing together.
So when you're out in a boat and you're sharing your adventure, how often do you get, I wished I had the courage to do exactly what you're doing? Because you are a little bit self-deprecating in the idea of, maybe I'm crazy for doing this, but I think there are, in the back of our minds anyway, many of us who imagine doing this on some level, to some degree of planning, whether it's just in daydreaming or maybe even writing it out as a potential idea down the line.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who ask that, who kind of admire that we had the courage to do this thing, to set out. But it's funny, there really are more that don't understand why we did it, how we did it, or why we did it. There's much more puzzlement about it than, I think, respect for it, or not respect, that's not the right word, but people who wish they did it. Most people say I couldn't do that. But that is the key thing. It was the finding the courage to do it was really a challenge. And I'm so happy that I did. It completely changed my life, completely changed me and changed my life. And I'm glad in the end that I did it. And I always try to encourage other people, if they're even thinking about a big life change, to just do it.
How many times did Chris have to ask you?
Not at all. So the first time, this is a crazy thing. So in my little condo, right, living quietly, reading my books. Chris lived in the same condo. He had a little dog. Our dogs both went out the back to pee. So we ended up talking now and again. And he would always talk about sailing. And I'd roll my eyes and they'd go, whatever. And then he said, well, why don't you just come out in the boat? And I thought, okay, fine. Never been in a sailboat before. So we went out sailing and I was hooked immediately. I've never felt that feeling of freedom. Once the boat got out, it was in Georgian Bay. Once we got out there and the wind caught the sails and it's perfectly quiet except for the water and the wind in the sails and we're just going wherever we're going to go, I was hooked. I thought, oh, I'm free. I give me this. And in almost no time, I sold my condo, quit my job, moved on the boat.
And no moments on that boat where you thought, what the heck have I done?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There were some of those. There were some of those. There was
who
one.
Who is this man? Yeah. Why am I standing beside him?
Yeah. Exactly. How did I get here again? What was the middle part? So last I remember, I was reading a biography of Colette by the fireplace with a glass of wine. And now I can't even have a cup of tea because the boat is getting dashed around in these winds. Yes, there were those moments for sure.
Did you start writing on the boat or is it when you get back and you start to think, I could really piece some of my feelings together?
Yeah, that's a good question. I write all the time because I'm just like that. So I kept a journal when it was gentle enough to do that. I wrote letters to my sister on the computer when it was gentle enough to do that, although I couldn't send them because we were out in the middle of nowhere. But I kept this kind of ongoing letter to her. And then there's the sailing logbook where you record what happens each day. So I had all this material. And when we came back, my impetus was to try to explain what it's like out there. And I started to write the book based on these materials really helped me piece together the journey then afterwards.
How long were you out?
26 days was the crossing. We left from Antigua, sailed north to Bermuda, which you need to do in order to catch the winds and the currents that'll take you across the ocean. Foolishly didn't stop in Bermuda because we were so cocky. We thought, oh, this is easy. We can do this. We don't need a rest. We should have stopped and waited for better weather information. But that's, you know, you learn that way. And then we went across from there. So 26 days altogether.
Where did you go? What was the destination?
We made landfall in the Azores, on the island of Flores in the Azores.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the book's about a journey, but it also, there's moments in there where you talk a lot about your family. I was looking through it earlier and wanted to mention about your brother, John, because he's stood out, not as a character, but a very real-life person. Yeah. So it's not just about you and what you've learned. It's about the people in your lives.
Yeah, it really is. Because I think that without that context, without knowing about the family that I came from and who I was before I set off, it just seems like, you know, some woman met some guy and went off sailing in a boat. So my brother, John, who had died quite young, all on the journey, and had always wanted to go sailing and always been fascinated with boats. I always across the sea kept thinking about him and thinking, I'm so lucky to be doing this and I'm so sorry you didn't ever get a chance to do this. So,
how do you bring that perspective? Clearly, this is your adventure, your experience. How do you write it in a fashion that welcomes other people into the novel and welcomes them in to share it? Because there's got to be a craft, a way to do that.
Yeah, you have to leave a lot unsaid, I think. This is just my own perspective on it, but I think you have to leave a lot unsaid. You can't tell this tight beginning to end story of your life or beginning to end story of the sailing journey. So I've sort of fractured it. There's some of the story and then there are flashbacks. And I think the gaps between the sailing story and the flashbacks give people little openings or spaces where they can think about their own experience. I hope it works that way.
So then are people in your life, when they read it, have also drawn their own conclusions then, I would imagine, about what they think you might have been feeling when you wrote something or about a moment? Because if it's not as detailed as you're saying, then it allows people to say, oh, well, I see what she was going through then, when they might not.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's true. That's exactly true.
So you have three events that you're participating in for Thin Air. Your first one is today. It's the Nooner at the Millennium Library. That starts at 12:15. What are you going to be talking about there? Just a little sort of expanding on what we've discussed this morning.
Yeah, I have there's a half hour there to read. So I'll talk a bit about what I've said this morning, but I'm also going to do some reading from the book, from certain sections of the book, some adventure, some memoir.
Are you more excited to come to these things and share or learn from the other writers around you?
Oh, that is a really good question. I would say it's equal. It's so great to have an audience and to talk about your book and talk to people, but I have really enjoyed the other writers, and I've learned so much from listening to them read. I went to a writer's craft workshop. You know, I've got a book. I'm supposed to know everything, right? No, I learned so much at that workshop. It's been fantastic.
Are you going to write another book?
I am.
Are you working on one now?
I am. It's in the very early stages. Not another memoir, because, I mean, how much about my life do you want to know? But it's going to be, it's a novel, and there will be, some of the background from the farm, I think, is going to come forward in that. Not so much sailing.
Is that exciting that you're now venturing from nonfiction into fiction?
Yeah, I find it really exciting. I think, wow, I don't have to get things right. I don't have to look stuff up.
Forget this accuracy stuff.
I spent
right?
so much time saying, how many miles from Antigua to Bermuda? And yeah, no, it's fun to have just the scope for that. And I have written fiction in the past. So yeah.
What did you do before?
Short stories. Yeah, I wrote short stories. So what happened is writing this full-length memoir, and this is my first book-length publication, is giving me the courage to say, yeah, I could do that. I can do more than a short story now. I think I know how to do this. You ask me again in 5 years when I finish it.
Well, that's the thing with courage, right? You need to do the thing you're afraid of in order to have the courage to do it. But of course, it's then in the rearview mirror.
It's an
interesting dichotomy, the way that works. So
that really is.
We're glad that you were brave enough to share this story with us. And what a great adventure. Thanks for this, Linda.
Thank you.
It's great.
You can get more information on Linda's schedule at thinairwinnipeg.ca. It is the Winnipeg International Writers Festival. Linda Kenyon is the author of Sea Over Bow, A North Atlantic Crossing. She's at the Millennium Library over the noon hour today. She'll be in Gimli tonight at 7 o'clock at A Spire Players Theater. And then tomorrow, she will be on the road in Carmen at the Carmen United Church at 10 a.m. Linda, thank you for coming in. What a pleasure to meet you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.